How are bike shops leveraging their service departments in this ever-changing market? That's the question we're tackling here. Hey, this is Vernon Felton. I'm an editor at Pink Bike. Welcome to our panel discussion on the state of affairs in the bike industry. We're at Chris King's 2017 open house here in Portland, Oregon, and we've assembled a panel of bike shop owners and employees, as well as representatives from brands such as Envy, Fox Racing, Moots, Pivot, and Santa Cruz Bicycles. So, how are bike shops leveraging their service departments? What works, but still a challenge? Check this out.
So, the next question is, how are you leveraging your service centers? Basic idea is, as again, the sales landscape is changing as brands increasingly go direct to consumer, the service center has never been more important. I guess the obvious thing is, you know, how do we leverage our service centers? But it doesn't have to simply be by doing the best repairs or giving the best knowledge. That's certainly a big part of it. But we're obviously seeing a lot of shops start doing shuttle services, aligning with skills coaches. In some places in the Northeast, working with fitness coaches to augment winter sales. So the question is, to you guys here who are particularly you guys at shops, what are you doing to leverage your service center, recognizing that that component of the bike business has never been more important?
So we're definitely looking at services that aren't necessarily working on bikes, providing rentals and demos, shuttles, group rides. We're talking about doing a pickup service for service. Running a van around town to pick up bikes since Portland's become such a challenge to drive in. So definitely looking at community building activities that are kind of outside of providing service, but they're service oriented, they're people oriented, they're not widget oriented, right? We're not just looking at selling something. But I think also, as a mountain bike shop, we spend an inordinate amount of time working on warranty, which is a time toilet and a money pit for us. So I think looking outside of the shop and also, advocating that manufacturers who are putting this product out are taking care of shops who are taking the time to take care of the customers, so that, whatever percentage of our time that we're putting into service is warranty, we're getting compensated for that. So that we're not just doing the work for manufacturers who are putting out subpar product in some cases. So I think, looking beyond the shop and being vocal is important as well.
I've been involved in this 20 collective dealer group that was put together by Shimano for the last two or three years. But one of the main objectives that they had was to figure out the profitability of the service department and how to increase the profitability, since the dealers can't make money selling Shimano components. That was not a topic, but wouldn't let us talk about it. Not a word. But the gist of it was that the service department was, with the possible exception of the women's clothing department, one of the least profitable parts of the store. The hardest thing for dealers to do is to honestly evaluate the profitability of that service department, because there's so many different ways of looking at how the expenses get allocated. How much do you charge for a bike build? How much do you charge for warranty stuff? I mean, right. That's how much can you conceivably charge customers for really any of the services that the service department offer, and are those profitable when it comes right down to it? And it's dubious. It's very, very difficult to. Our industry is shy on margins in every aspect of it. And the service department is probably the biggest challenge.
I think something that's important to realize is there's very few people in the world that can do what our mechanics can do, and we need to charge accordingly for that. The days of the $65 tune-up are gone. I mean, you can't even go through a bike and write an estimate and have it be accurate and have it be within enough time that it's not costing your labor dollars 65. But I think that's the biggest thing, is educating our customers on why we charge what we do for service, selling preventative service. I don't know how many times folks come in and their chain is way beyond the worn out point and they're shocked that now they need, you know, drivetrain replaced. Where if we were to educate that person early on, or if the industry were letting folks know that chains have a life cycle, then we would see that person come back sooner. We would have more opportunity to sell them on other things. But I think that, you know, folks don't take enough pride in what their staff does, or they don't finite look at, you know, labor costs and what it costs to actually run a service center. But, you know, you minimum, you know, you've got to be getting like $80 to $90 an hour for your labor. And that's going to hopefully not cost you money in the long run. And some of that is to offset the cost of warranties and whatnot. But, you know, it's, I think I've got 25 years as a mechanic, and I remember doing $25 tune-ups and then $50 tune-ups and $70 tune-ups, and now they're $90 and $130 tune-ups. And that's because bikes have gotten so much more technical, and to bleed a disc brake takes a lot longer than to adjust a cantilever brake, and you can't charge $10 to adjust a brake. And I think that we just need to have more confidence in what we charge.
I had a question for you guys, but focusing the questions on the service center, that is the wrenching. But I think I imagine everyone here has read Bicycle Retailer and Industry News, and I know I've certainly read at least 10 editorials over the past couple of years saying, well, the bike shop has to stop simply being a place where we buy and repair, sell and repair bikes. Mm. That it's now needs to be a cultural center, and now needs to be potentially an espresso bar or a fitting place, or again, shuttle services, right? So the question is, I guess, the next question I have for you is, are you able to leverage other types of service, other business categories in your business? Or is that kind of a pie in the sky sort of suggestion? Are you strapped to the point that having a shuttle or having a mobile repair or having a fitting specialist is too much? I'm curious. Barry, you had mentioned that you guys are doing some of that at Fat Tire, and I'm curious, if you're doing it, is it actually working well? Do consumers respond to it? Is it profitable?
Yeah, you know, to speak to shuttle service and rental demo service, I mean, that ties in very closely with selling bikes and servicing bikes. So it's an expenditure that we see a direct return from. You know, we're in business because we want to get people on bikes and keep them on bikes. I don't want to be a coffee shop. I know there are a lot of shops around the country that have, you know, introduced cafes into their stores and recognize the profitability of selling food and coffee, and they're making more revenue off of food than they are bikes. And that's not where we want to go. So we want to keep our services kind of focused on getting people on bikes and keeping them on bikes. But yeah, the extra kind of services that I'm talking about go directly to profitability for sure.
So we just went through a huge remodel of our shop, and we took on about 50% more square footage through that. And with that, we had beer sales prior to that. You know, we had a kegerator in there and whatnot. And since we did the remodel, we dedicated a whole entire area, probably 300 square feet, so pretty reasonable amount, to a full-on bar. And full-on bar meaning beer and kombucha and tea, lemonade, that sort of stuff, both canned as well as three kegs on tap. And that's been pretty remarkable, because when you give that customer the opportunity to walk in the store, kind of do what they want to do, see what they want to see, and then you give them the ease of hanging it out. And we've done a really cool job of creating a really warm atmosphere within that bar area, if not the rest of the shop. And all of a sudden, they want to hang out. They want to talk. They start talking to other people that come in to sit down at the bar or carrying a pint of beer around the shop. And I won't lie, you know, I mean, people will get buzzed and they start like going, all right, let's do that. And you know, we sold an XTR DI 2 kit over an XT kit on a Yeti one time. You know,
because how much kombucha did that dude drink? This is Portland.
Oh, you got to drink a lot of kombucha to get drunk. But it's been a great thing, and we're very dedicated to get people on bikes and focusing our business around those real bike-centric things. But nothing, a lot can be said about also creating just a very warm inviting atmosphere, whatever that be.
I think what you're bringing up is, you know, how can we think outside of the box and come up with some new ways to keep our staff busy in the slow season or get more people in the door. But I think I might speak like I'm older than what I am, but I'm a bit saddened that we have to try to jump through hoops to get people into our business. I think what we're seeing in America is that cycling is a hobby, or it's a like a side thought, where in Europe and so many other places, it's a way of life. I mean, it's, you know, bikes are everywhere. They're used everywhere. And I know this is a really progressive city with cycling, which is awesome. Bellingham is great for the mountain biking, but I am terrified to ride my bike on the roads there. But I think that there's a lot to be done just in how we view bikes in America and how we view getting kids on bikes, getting disadvantaged populations on bikes, becoming more bike-centric. And I think we won't have to try to lure people into the doors of the bike shop, that it will just be a place that you want to go to and need to go to. I mean, it's kind of a utopia sort of thought process, but it's strange that we provide this amazing service and people love bikes, and yet we're trying to give them beer and coffee and hot dogs and, you know, whatever it is. I mean, I want my bike shop to be a cool place. We have beer as well, and I think that's an awesome thing. But I do remember years back where, you know, folks would just come in and hang out at the bike shop, and, you know, they wouldn't buy anything. They'd be there every other day, and it was just the guy that was always there. And it just seems like with the fast-paced lifestyle that we live, or whatever it is now, or that instant gratification, that, you know, folks aren't just coming in and hanging out, or they're price shopping for the cheapest of whatever, whenever kind of thing. But I think our culture, we're not really supporting ourselves and the industry the way that we could be. And I think if we can just find a way to make bikes, you know, more of a necessity than just sort of a hobby or an alternative, you know, I think that we would obviously all make a lot more money, and I think the air would be a lot cleaner, and there'd be a lot less traffic and that sort of thing.
Thanks for listening in. We've got more great panel discussions from Chris King's Open House 2017. Check them out.